We have sustained a new prophet at this conference, which is wonderful, inspiring. It's necessary, for it is a commandment of God. But of course, the work is yet to do. We must follow him. The response of the prophet Joseph Smith to the question, "What are the fundamental principles of your religion?" was a succinct statement of the importance of testimony. He said, "The fundamental principles of our religion are the testimony of the apostles and prophets concerning Jesus Christ, that he died, was buried, and rose again the third day and ascended into heaven. And all other things which pertain to our religion are only appendages to it." Testimony is a sure knowledge of a principle of the gospel received by revelation from the Holy Ghost, as President Romney outlined this morning. As such, it is as vital to the soul who would have communion with the Creator as anything could be. Testimony is vitally important, but men are not saved by virtue of their testimony alone, although it is the beginning of real spiritual progress. It is a common error to feel that testimony implies conversion. We many times equate testimony with a man's faith. We say he has great faith, meaning that he has a strong testimony. Or we say he has a strong testimony, meaning that he has great faith. However, I don't believe the two are synonymous at all. Faith means that one has a strong belief, so strong, in fact, that he acts or performs as though he really knows, when in reality, he does not. On the other hand, testimony implies that he does know. Bearing testimony has to do with bearing witness to that which we know to be true. Much of what we call testimony is not really testimony at all. It is a statement or expression of public thanks. It's good to be thankful, but public thanks is not testimony. Testimony comes from the Spirit of Christ, which John testifies is the true light which enlightens every man that comes into the world. It will lead a man to Christ. It will help him gain a testimony. And if followed, will lead to baptism in the Church of Jesus Christ. Many people receive a witness that Jesus is the Christ, and they think this knowledge alone saves them. They say they're saved. Of course, it does not. It didn't save a third of the host of heaven. James records, "The devils also believe and tremble." What do they believe? That Jesus is the Christ. In fact, they know it. You might even say they have a testimony of it. Peter had a testimony that Jesus is the Christ, and he bore that testimony. And it surely came from the Lord. For the Master said, "Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." It's very doubtful that Peter was at that time converted, because he could not admit that he knew the Lord Jesus Christ when he felt that his own life was in danger. Later, the Master confirmed that Peter lacked conversion when, just before he went to his agony and death on the cross, he said, "Peter, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Peter's testimony or knowledge that Jesus was the Christ did not save him from denying the Master, probably because he was not converted. He could not follow the Lord at the peril of his own life. In order to show that we are converted, we must sustain and follow the Lord's anointed servants, even when we don't agree with them or even if we think they're wrong. This is the real mark of conversion. Many men with testimonies have been unable to do this. In this dispensation, to name just a few, Oliver Cowdery, David Widmer, Martin Harris, three witnesses, the Book of Mormon, Thomas B. Marsh, who was the first president of the Quorum of the Twelve, had this very problem. They refused to sustain the Lord's anointed servant, and it led to their expulsion from his church. Conversion implies a change, or as King Benjamin says, a putting off of the natural man, which is selfish, conceited, impatient, intemperate, disobedient, and rebellious, and becoming a saint through the atonement of Christ the Lord. This would mean becoming even as a child, submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, willing to submit to all things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him, even as a child does submit to his father. In order to emphasize this particular point, Jesus said, "Not he that saith, Lord, Lord, will be saved, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Jesus was completely committed to doing the will of his Father, and he was unequivocal in his counsel to us that we follow him and do the will of the Father as well. Then conversion would mean that we do the will of the Father. And how would we know what the Father's will is? Surely it can come directly from the Father by revelation, but it seldom does. When he has authorized servants to act for him, generally we get it through his servants, the president of the church, the general authorities, the stake president, the bishop, the branch president, or in other words, the Lord's anointed servant. Thus, the clear necessity of sustaining the Lord's anointed servants in righteousness, even if we don't agree with them, or should I say, particularly when we don't agree with them. It's no big problem to sustain a man if you agree with him. But if you don't agree, that's the real test. This is the real key to conversion. This is doing the will of the Father. There are a few times in recorded history of the world when God the Father has spoken to man directly. Generally, it is the Lord Jesus Christ who speaks. He is Jehovah of the Old Testament. He has authority to speak for his Father. There are, however, some recorded instances where there is no doubt who it is that's speaking. It is the Father. His voice was heard at the baptism of Jesus by John in the River Jordan. It was heard again at the Mount of Transfiguration. It was heard again in 1820 in the Grove near Palmyra, New York, by the prophet Joseph Smith, always either introducing his son, Jesus Christ, or bearing testimony of him. However, there is a recorded instance of the Father saying more than this in the Book of Mormon. The Book of Mormon is that book about which the prophet Joseph Smith bore his testimony. It is the most correct of any book on earth. And a man will get nearer to God by abiding by its precepts than by any other book. In the particular passage to which I refer, the prophet Nephi explained why it was necessary for Jesus to be baptized by John to fulfill all righteousness. That he humbleth himself before the Father and witnessed unto the Father that he would be obedient unto him in keeping his commandments. Again, it showeth unto the children of men the straightness of the path and the narrowness of the gate by which they should enter, he having set the example before them. Then he said, follow thou me. Nephi asked, wherefore, my beloved brethren, can we follow Jesus, say we be willing to keep the commandments of the Father? Nephi then records significant.
And the Father said,
repent ye, and be baptized in the name of my beloved Son. And the voice of the Son came unto me, saying, he that is baptized in my name, to him will the Father give the Holy Ghost like unto me. Wherefore, follow me, and do the things which ye have seen me do. Further, Nephi records, the voice of the Son came unto him, saying, after you have repented of your sins and witnessed unto the Father that you're willing to keep my commandments by baptism of water and have received the baptism of fire and the Holy Ghost and can speak with new tongues, yea, even the tongues of angels, and after this should you deny me, it would have been better for you that you had not known me. And then Nephi records, and I heard a voice from the Father saying, yea, the words of my beloved are true and faithful. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Now, this is obviously the most important message that God the Father could possibly give to his children. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and then endure to the end. This is the will of the Father. This is what he wants for his children. The mark of real conversion is endurance. Only unto he that endureth to the end will be brought about the great and eternal plan of redemption. The statement of the prophet Joseph Smith concerning the danger of fault-finding or rebelling against the Lord's anointed is very significant. He said, I will give unto you one of the keys of the mysteries of the kingdom. It is an eternal principle that has existed with God from all eternity. That man who rises up to condemn others, finding fault with the church, saying that they are out of the way while he himself is righteous, then know assuredly that that man is in the high road to apostasy. And if he does not repent, will apostatize as God lives. Then refusal to sustain or follow the Lord's anointed servants is a form of rebellion, which is open or willful resistance to and defiance of God's authority. It is extremely serious. Rebellion is the opposite of obedience and leads to expulsion from the kingdom. This is what happened to Lucifer. He refused to sustain the Lord in that he would not follow and do the things which he had seen the Father do before him. When we fail to do what we know we should, at the same time having the light before us, But refusing to obey, notwithstanding the covenants made in the waters of baptism, we become rebels. Even some seem to delight in their rebellion. They brag about it. If they only knew that the Lord's anger is kindled against all the rebellious, they shall be pierced with much sorrow, said the Lord, and they shall fail. In this earth life probation, those who are converted are called to succeed. The kingdom is not going to fail. It is a stone which the prophet Daniel saw was cut out of the mountain without hands, and it rolled forth down the mountainside, gaining momentum as it went. It broke down all other kingdoms. It filled the whole earth and stood forever. The kingdom is a winner. Isn't it great to be part of a winner? Don't you love a winner? I do. I confess I hate to lose. I think I'm the worst loser in all the world. I don't believe in it. Some say it matters not whether you win or lose, but how you play the game. Don't you believe it? It makes a lot of difference whether you win or not. We came to this earth to win. We are here to win. And we will win if we stick with the Lord, because the Lord is not going to lose. He can't lose. The kingdom is a winner. And when we do it His way, we will win with Him. The promise is sure. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Testimony won't save us, but testimony coupled with faith and conversion, or staying power, which is endurance, that will exalt us. Listen to the words of the Master. Therefore, as ye are agents, ye are on the Lord's errand. And whatsoever ye do according to the will of the Lord is the Lord's business. Wherefore, be not weary in well-doing, for ye are laying the foundation of a great work. And out of small things proceedeth forth that which is great. Behold, the Lord requireth the heart and a willing mind. And the willing and the obedient shall eat the good of the land of Zion in these last days. And the rebellious shall be cut off out of the land of Zion, and shall be sent away, and shall not inherit the land. For verily I say that the rebellious are not of the blood of Ephraim. Therefore they shall be plucked out. Behold, I, the Lord, have made my church in these last days like unto a judge sitting on a hill, or in a high place, to judge the nations. For it shall come to pass that the inhabitants of Zion shall judge all things pertaining to Zion. And liars and hypocrites shall be proven by them, and they who are not apostles and prophets shall be known. And even the bishop, who is a judge, and his counselors, if they are not faithful in their stewardship, shall be condemned, and others shall be planted in their stead. For behold, I say unto you that Zion shall flourish, and the glory of the Lord shall be upon her, and she shall be an ensign unto the people, and there shall come unto her out of every nation under heaven. And the day shall come when the nations of the earth shall tremble because of her, and shall fear because of her terrible ones. The Lord has spoken it. Does that sound like a loser to you? I tell you it doesn't. And those who are converted, who can follow the Lord and His anointed servants, even though they don't want to, or they don't agree, or they'd rather do something else, these are they who shall bring to pass the purposes of God. Before we can be a great leader in the kingdom of God, you must first be a great follower. Obedience is still better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. May the Lord bless us to hold fast and remain faithful as we follow the Lord's anointed servants. And may we feel good about it. I pray that we will, in Jesus' name. Amen.